a couple of weeks ago. And while I had a teacher that always liked to review what we did, give the present lesson, and then go on to the next day's lesson. I'm not going to do that. But let's go back in the scripture to what we have read. The scriptures are our foundation, the principle on which we stand. Luke chapter 19, please, and verse 11. Luke 19, verse 11. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. He called his 10 servants and delivered unto them 10 pounds, 1 pound each, and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him, and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man to rule over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much each man had gained by trading. Then came the first and said, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10. Verse 18, the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. Verse 20, and another came, saying, Lord, here is thy pound. Each had the same amount. And we consider, first of all, that there are certain, shall I call them gifts, that God has given to all of his people, which we all share equally. Not like the gifts that we read of in 1 Corinthians and Romans 12 and 1 Peter chapter 2. There are certain items which each of us have received equally. And the first of those that we discussed was the matter of time. We all share the same amount of time. And then the second of these items was prayer. We all have access to the Lord through the prayer. Prayer is a real democracy. All believers can share the same way. And last Sunday we considered the Holy Spirit. Every believer is born of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit resides in every believer. And we saw that we can test ourselves as to whether we have been born of the Spirit. We saw that the Holy Spirit is not an influence, is not an it, is not a thing. He is a person, a divine person. And now tonight, what I'd like to call attention to, the Holy Spirit and the Bible. The Holy Spirit and the Scriptures. And we start with a question. Who wrote the Bible? You often hear it said, men wrote the Bible. Yes and no. Who wrote the Scriptures? 1 Peter chapter 1. Verses 10 and 11. First Peter chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. They prophesied about it, but verse 11 said, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify. In other words, they prophesied, but they didn't understand completely what the Spirit was telling them. So that we learn from this, that the Spirit was the writer of the Bible. 2 Peter, please. Chapter 1. And we get a similar thought. Verse 19. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. We have also the more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rising in your heart. Verse 20. Knowing this, no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. Prophecy came not at any time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. I'm going to read a translation that you find in the American Standard Version. That's the Bible that Brother John Mills writes so much. And it is still one of the best translations that we have, even though it dates back to 1901. And that reads, no prophecy ever came by the will of man, but men spake from God being moved by the Holy Spirit. That's how we got the Bible. The word moved, a very important word. They were driven by the Holy Spirit. And that brings up the question, suppose a man didn't want to write what the Spirit told him. What then? They were driven. They were moved by the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 27. They were moved by the Holy Spirit. Driven by the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 27. We won't read the whole chapter. We'll just read verse 15. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up unto the wind, we let her drive. We let her drive. And that is the same word that you get in 2 Peter, the Spirit moved them. What happened with that ship? They had no control of it, and that ship just went wherever the waves would take it. And it's the same way that the Holy Spirit worked. Men did not have a say in the matter. It was the Holy Spirit that drove them and moved them, and as we shall see, they had to say what the Holy Spirit told them. No control. Have you ever been in a skid driving? I remember I was in one in New York many years ago. Crossing the Triborough River and I got into this thing. I'm going in one direction, and when I finished spinning around, or when the car finished spinning me around, I was going in the other direction. No control. That car did what it wanted to do. And when these men were inspired by the Holy Spirit, they did what the Spirit wanted them to do. Read with me, please, in Acts chapter 28. We want to establish the fact that the writers of the scripture claim and aver that they did not write the scriptures, that the Holy Spirit wrote the scriptures. Acts chapter 27. Oh, we just read that. I'm sorry. Chapter 28, yes. Verse 25. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed after that Paul had spoken one word. Well said the Holy Spirit by Isaiah the prophet. What does that tell us? You can look us up where Isaiah the prophet said these words in chapter 6 and verse 9. But Paul says Isaiah did not say it. It was the Spirit who said it. and all of the Bible and all of the composers were directed by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wrote the Bible. Man did not write it. Hebrews chapter 3, please. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 to 9. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Where is that from? It's one of the Psalms. But the writer of the Hebrews didn't say that the psalmist wrote, he said that the Spirit wrote. And you find this thought in many places. Chapter 9, please. What I want to emphasize is that the Holy Spirit wrote this book. And therefore, it's different from every other book. Chapter 9, verse 8. The Holy Ghost, thus signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest. And where do you find that? In the book of Leviticus. Oh, you say Moses wrote that. Yes, Moses wrote it. But this verse says the Holy Spirit wrote it. The Holy Spirit used Moses to write it. Chapter 10, verse 15. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them, and so forth. And where do you find that? In the book of Jeremiah. What am I getting at? That these men that wrote were secretaries. They wrote what the Spirit told them to write. And the human writers are very interesting. It's interesting. The ones that the Lord took to write. 40 different men. Well, you can't get two men to write a book and agree. 40 different men wrote this book. A little question. Now, sisters, don't get upset. No women were ever priests or apostles or wrote a book of the Bible. Does that mean that God doesn't favor women? No. When you go home, find out the reason. 40 men wrote the scriptures. They lived 1,500 years apart. So that the Apostle John never saw Moses. And yet they were in agreement. How do you explain that? Because there was one writer that inspired and directed all of them. Some of these men were kings, David and Solomon. Some were statesmen, like Daniel. Some were shepherds, like Amos. Some were well-educated, like Moses and Daniel and Paul and Luke. Others were uneducated, like Peter and John. All of these men the Lord used to write the word. One was a physician. One was a cheap politician. Can't do much with them today, can you? But the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, took Matthew and made something of it. And he wrote the gospel according to Matthew. One was a priest, Ezekiel, and one was a scribe. And these several men, 40 different writers, living over a span of 1,500 years, wrote one book without a contradiction. I repeat, you can't get that today. That does not happen today. And these human agents ascribe their writing to the Holy Spirit. Read with me, please, in 2 Samuel chapter 23. 2 Samuel chapter 23. Starting at verse 1. Now these be the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, the sweet psalmist of David said, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me. He didn't claim to have originated what he said. He said, the Spirit of the Lord. That's so nice. Acts chapter 1. Now I realize that I'm turning to a lot of scriptures, and as I've told you, that's the chief criticism of my daughters, all three of them. Daddy, you turn to too many scriptures. When you turn, listen to the music as you turn the leaves. And you'll be glad to turn. Acts chapter 1, verse 16. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David speak. That scripture comes from David. But Paul says, or rather Peter says, the Holy Ghost was speaking, not David. David was just the secretary, as we find in so many instances. And then there's an expression that you find 2,500 times in the Bible, thus saith the Lord. And why do you find that? Because the Lord wrote the book. The Holy Spirit wrote this book. Beloved, cherish this book. The Holy Spirit wrote it. I remember some time ago, my wife called me at the office and said, there's a man here with some books. And I think you'll be interested. I said, all right, tell him I'll be at home at 7 o'clock this evening. And there at 7 o'clock, this man came, offering me, at a good price, a collection of books called The Best Books of Western Civilization. And I mean, they were a fine collection. Shakespeare, Milton, all those big fellows. And all the old Romans and the Greeks. Best books of Western civilization. And I said to him, how can these be the best books? Where's the Bible? He looked a little embarrassed. I said, I like your book, but I wouldn't buy them because you left the Bible out. He called me back two nights and said, I spoke to my superiors and they told me that if you will buy the best books as we have published them, they'll give you a Bible. And I have that Bible. Oh, it's a beautiful volume. Beautifully worked out. A nice binding, fine specimen. The Bible, the best books of Western civilization, and you leave out the Bible? You've heard it. Sir Walter Scott. He lay dying in his library. He wrote many books, as you know. His nephew came to him, and he said to his nephew, son, bring the book. His son looked up and said, Uncle, which book? You have so many here. He said, there's only one book. The Bible. Oh, beloved, cherish the Bible. Think a lot of it. Take good care of it. As I was telling my nephew recently, I said, take care of the leather. And every 3 months, treat the leather. Treat the book. It's the best book that you have. The Word of God. And the human writers ascribe their writing to the Holy Spirit. Who wrote the book of Romans?
Paul?
That's what my Bible has as a title. Epistle of the Romans according to Paul. Turn to me with me to chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. And that's why we have to be so careful when we read the Word. Verse 22. I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, salute you in the Lord. Who wrote the epistle of Paul to the Romans? That's right. Tertius wrote it at Paul's dictation. And you find the same thing with Jeremiah. He didn't write Baruch wrote, but he dictated. And this whole book, all the authors, the Holy Spirit guided each one. And how important were these various men? Suppose, as you mentioned before, suppose God told a man to write and he didn't want to write. What then? Numbers chapter 22. I hope you find this kind of study as fascinating as I do. Because this is the sort of thing that you meet when you talk to unbelievers about the Bible. Well, men just wrote it. And you can stand up and tell them God wrote it. And then they look at you and wonder if you're in your right mind. And you really are. And you can stand up and defend the scriptures. But suppose the person that God selected to write didn't want to write. Then what do we do? Numbers chapter 22, did I say? Yes. All right, let's start at verse 15. When you go home, start from verse 1. Balak sent yet again princes more and more honorable than they. And they came to Balaam and said to him, thus saith Balak, the son of Zippor, let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me. I will promote thee unto very great honor. I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse this people. All right. Now, when you read the book of Jude, you learn that Balaam really wanted that money. He's like some of the preachers today. He really wanted that money. Let's read on. Verse 18, Balaam answered and said unto the servant of Balak, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. Verse 20, God came to Balaam at night and said, if the men come to thee, rise up and go with them, but yet the word which I shall say unto thee, that's what you're going to talk to. And Balaam went with him. You read the rest of it when you go home. And Balak was upset. He said, I didn't ask you to bless them. I asked you to curse them. What did Balaam say? Whatever God puts in my mouth, that's what I have to say. And so it was with the writers of the Bible. Even, why, as we shall see, some of them didn't even understand what they were writing. John chapter 11. John chapter 11. Verse 49, I believe it is. Yes. Let's start at 47. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, What do we? This man does many wonders, miracles. If we let him alone, all men will believe on him, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Romans shall come and take away our place and nation. One of them, named Caiaphas. Now mark you, Caiaphas was not friendly to the Lord Jesus Christ. He was with that Jewish gang that wanted to kill him. One of them, named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, ye know nothing at all. My, my, my. Can you imagine the enemies of Christ and one saying to another, you don't know what you're talking about? But why did he do it? Nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people and that the whole nation should not perish. This he spake not of himself, but being high priest that year, prophesied. Who gave him the words? The Holy Spirit. And he didn't feel this way about the Lord Jesus Christ, but he had to talk that way. I don't know how this makes you feel, but this sort of thing thrills me. And here I have the book in my hand, the Word of God. And every word in this book was given to us by God himself. You love, that's something. The God that created heaven and earth wrote this book. To me, it's wonderful. But we go on just a little bit more. How did God, the Holy Spirit, get these men to write the Word of God? 2 Timothy, please, chapter 3. How did God get these men to write what he wanted them to write, even when they didn't understand it? How did he do it? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture. This is how it was done. This is how he got all those 20 writers, 40 writers to write what he wanted. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Outbreathing of God. You remember in the Garden of Eden? When God had made Adam, he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And when God breathes into you, you live. And when he had those 40 men to write the Word of God, they wrote a living Word. And that's what we hold in our hands. As the hymn says, the best book in the world is the Bible. Tell me, do you really believe that? I want to tell you I do. And it has been my privilege to read quite a number of books. And this one's the best. This one's the best. Have you ever noticed that in the Bible, as the Lord wrote it, he never changed anything? Well, even when he was here on earth, he never changed his mind. He would say something and that was it. Oh, I made a mistake. I changed that. I don't feel the same way. No. And that's true of this book. What's here is here. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. God breathed. And is profitable. Oh, I like this part. All scripture is profitable. Do we believe that? Do we believe that all scripture, everything, even what you don't understand, is profitable? It's amazing about what you don't understand. Someday in the future, it all comes out and the Lord gives you understanding. We look into that next time when we speak about who teaches us the Bible. It's profitable. For four things. For doctrine.
The Bible tells you what's right. For reproof, the Bible tells you what's wrong. For correction, the Bible tells you how to get right. For instruction in righteousness, the Bible tells you how to stay right. I'm finished, beloved. I hope that you feel have the thrill and the feeling that I have about this book. And as the Lord leads, we shall look into it and see how many mistakes there are in it. I don't blame you, brother. God wrote it. How can he have any mistakes to begin with? Well, we'll take up a few more things. But there's nothing like the book. Written by the Holy Spirit. Oh, beloved, I suggest that you enjoy it. Shall we sing number 204? I believe we know this. Open my eyes that I may see. Open my eyes, illumine me. Spirit divine. We'll consider that next time. The Holy Spirit as teacher. And there are many kinds of teachers. I can think of some of the teachers that I had. I think of Mr. Gill, he taught algebra. And if you tied Mr. Gill's hand behind his back, he couldn't teach. But he used those fingers to teach. And I think of a Latin teacher, Mr. Bate. He was a good teacher. As I mentioned, he would review yesterday's lesson, take you through today's, and get you started on tomorrow's. It was a pleasure to go to his class. And I think of some other teachers. And I think of one, I won't mention him now. Oh, he put the fear of God in you. When that man called on you and looked at you, all that you knew, you forgot. And then when he saw that you didn't have the right answer, he would say louder and funnier. What a teacher he was. But we're going to see what the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit teaches, kindly and gently. 204, please.